Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Happy morning. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of August, and we are very fortunate enough because we have someone so early that is exciting. This is the first time we've had someone call before, which is awesome. Everyone, welcome our friends at Dead Sled. This is Mike. Mike, welcome to the FRL headquarters with the icon, Strategize Stevens.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know we've been working on this for a little while. So, you know, welcome, first of all, first and foremost. This is the man that you guys hear about all my coffee that I drink on a regular basis when I do these shows. So, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys started, really, how this whole thing began? Because this is amazing stuff, what you guys are doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We actually just turned 4 on July 10th of last month. So, and where it all started is Diana actually founded the company, 4 years ago. There was a pretty specific business model mindset in place. You know, it's just kind of a place for all accepting. We don't care who you are, where you're from. We just appreciate you and your love of coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, we're all metal fans. We're all rock and roll fans. We're all horror fans, horror movie fans. It just kind of progressed into what it is today. You know, our within our first year of launching, we had Vincent Price, Bela Lugosi, Vampira. That's kind of what started the whole thing.
Right.
And then we all just sort of sat down and talked about it. And we're like, hey, this is it, right? Like, this is what we need to be doing. And this is what, we need to be doing kick-ass coffee with kick-ass brands and bands. And one thing led to another. 4 years later, you see what you see now.
Well, it's impressive stuff. Now, let me ask you something. Now, when you guys are at these conventions, because, I mean, we met at a convention, Monster Mania, which is, in my opinion, one of the best on the East Coast, in my opinion. I'm also partial. I'm the friend of the Hagens, he is. But anyway, regardless of that, have you guys ever, like, when you guys meet these horror icons that you guys name your coffees after, what is that interaction like?
Well, it just depends. So, for example, after we did, the Vampire, it was a little while longer. It was like 2020. We had like our first band, which was Wisdom and Change. And this actually happened. So Robert Englund is probably the best example of one of our most favorite interactions.
Oh, he's,
and that
he's
actually happened during COVID. At that point in time, I actually still had a full-time job and was doing Dead Sled on the side, but I was laid off for 3 months due to the pandemic. So what had happened was another business partner of mine, his name is also Mike, he reached out directly to Robert's agent, kind of pitched the idea to him or to them, and said that, we work with Vincent Price, Vampire, all this good stuff. And the next thing you know, they responded, and she was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Let me talk to Robert. And within a week, it was a phone call with his agent, with Robert, with Mike, and myself. It was us four. And what was a 30-minute scheduled call turned into probably an hour and a half.
Robert Englund,
It turned into like just a really cool chat session, and me being my favorite franchise of all time is A Nightmare on Elm Street. So me being able to sit there and just shoot the breeze with Robert Englund for 90 minutes, it was very, very cool. And my fanboy showed a little bit, but like I was like, all right, calm down, this is business, But and that's what that interaction was, that's that's like a specific case, a very special case, just because he was so into it. But he was our first real horror Coffey, who was actually alive, right? You know, Vampire, right. Vincent Price, the ghost. You just go through estates for that. You know, you go through, there's certain people that own the estates. So, like, Vincent Price is his daughter. Bela Lugosi is his daughter. You know, and Vampire is another person that owns the rights to Vampire. So, but this, you know, you're talking to Robert Englund. You're working with him. And then that's how it started. You know, like with the bigger names, you reach out to their agents. But most people, you know, we deal with directly. They taste test their own coffee. They do the, you know, they do the sampling. They tell us the kind of coffee that they like. You know, Dee Snider was one of my most favorite interactions, you know. You know, as well, you know, him and I, he had tweeted something. I forget what it was, but he was talking back and forth with Jamie from Hatebreed on Twitter. They were talking about coffee. And I was like, you want to know what? I'm just going to respond to it and make a joke. And then the next thing you know, like 10 minutes later, Dee Snider and I are just DMing back and forth about it, and that deal was done within 2 days.
It sounds about right. Yeah, Dee Snider is another one of those. But you got some luck right there. Those are two people right there, Robert Englund and Dee Snider, who are probably the most personable people you can communicate with any of these things. That's smart stuff. Now, did you know that going in, or is this just like luck that this is how it worked out?
Well, we've always heard good things about Robert, you know what I mean? And being to interact with him, everything that we heard was true. You know, same with me. We've heard from numerous people. You know, I'm friends with people who are friends with him. So they're like, he's the sweetest man on earth. You know what I mean? He knows what he wants, but he's just the nicest human being ever. And that's what it worked out. It just kind of worked out that way. And it's been fantastic. He's been fantastic to work with, and he's so open to doing anything. You know, that's what's great. You know, I can shoot him a message, and he'll respond within, you know, sometimes within 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's very attentive about his coffee and his brand.
Yes, and I respect that. Dee Snider is probably, like you said, he's also very nice and he's down to earth, but he also likes to get stuff done. And as long as you're working as a team in your you know, really doing, going there with it, he's very open and very helpful.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate enough to run into him several times within the whole convention world, the wrestling world. That's where I come from. And Dee Snider, Robert Englund, I mean, when you talk about people who you want to build the brands about and people who you want to kind of align yourself with, these are two names right here. Like when you're talking about horror, rock, music in general, these are two names right here that you want enlisted because they go side and side. Robert Englund, hands down, out of anybody I've ever had interactions with, has been the one who, if I had the option, he would be the one person I would bring in because I know how, number one, he's very popular still to this day across generations. I got some funny stories about Robert Englund. My son met him before he even knew who Robert Englund was. But that talks to how awesome Robert Englund is as a person. But, like, in general, those are two names that are, go side and side. So smart stuff. Align yourself with the right people.
Yeah, you know, and also just from a pure fan perspective, too, it's just really cool to be working with these people. You know, just being... The horror nerd and the metal nerd that I am, you know, it's just, it's kind of surreal to me, you know. You know, I'm very grateful every day that I wake up that I get to work with the people that I work with.
Sure. I understand that. I came from the wrestling world. I trained, you know, up in Boston and probably one of the wrestling schools in the area. And one of the things they teach you is not to, quote, mark out for other wrestlers or other people because you're all seen as supposed to be peers. So, you know, but when you meet people who are your heroes, the people who are responsible for you doing what you want to do, I can relate to that because I get that, you know what I mean? And then I crossed over from, you know, wrestling into the filmmaking world and the writing world, and that's kind of, you know, like you said, you try to be professional, but you can't help but to be that, you know, well, this is Robert Englund. This is, you know, Dee Snider. Just like me, I've interacted with those people. And on the face value, like I treat everyone the same, I talk to everyone the same, but I'm not going to lie if I don't say that I'm a little excited I'm talking to one of these icons, you know?
Of course. I mean, it's, you know, any interaction with anybody that we work with that I've had, there's always some there's always some excitement that comes along with it, you know, especially if
sure.
you're a fan of that thing. It's, you know, or that thing
right.
or that person or that movie. It's,
right.
you know, to me, I think it's weird if you wouldn't be excited about it, you know, and that's
Absolutely.
Why, you know, and that's why I think, you know, that's why I love what we do. It's just because the people we work with and us, we love what we put out to the world so much. It's not just, hey, let's throw a cool name on a cool bag and fill it with terrible coffee, right? It's just like,
yeah.
we don't care. They're just going to buy it because of who's on it. You know, we want people to come back and buy the other coffee. You know, it's you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, we'll see some comments sometimes and it's just part of the world. But, you know, they will say, oh, it's just, you know, Folgers in a really cool bag. Like, it's really
no,
not.
It isn't.
Like, it really is.
No, it really isn't. I can speak to that.
Crack
you guys
coffee.
Have. Absolutely.
You know, like,
hands
we're
down.
Basically, we're basically, like, in the, it's no different than the craft beer world, right? Like,
right.
we are a craft coffee company that just happens to work with really cool brands.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows. You know, even with Rob Zombie, like, he was very specific in the types of coffee that he would work with. You know, he's like, look, it's only U.S., you know, it's only organic, 100% organic, fair trade. And, you know, that's the only way that he would work with us. And he did all the sampling. He picked what he wanted. And, you know, like, you're not paying the money you're paying for Rob Zombie's name. You're literally paying for the coffee. It just so happens
yeah.
that it's in a Rob Zombie bag, if that, you know,
right.
if that makes sense.
Right. No, I get that. That's cool, though. It's a great marketing idea, but it's also good to know that these people are involved with it. So it's almost like getting a piece of them in general, you know. And to speak to the fact that, you know, people compare it to, like, regular household brands, it's definitely not. It's, you guys are what we have in our house on a regular basis. When I do the show, for the most part, I have, you know, usually one of the various flavors. Usually I'll talk about whichever flavor it is. I fluctuate, but, you know, the It coffee you guys have there, that's probably one of my hands down and my favorites. But, I mean, my wife loves the Elvira, the Vincent Price. Those are her two favorites. So we all have our own favorites. My daughter really enjoys the Kiss flavor. Coffee you guys have now? And
the which one?
Yeah,
sorry?
The Kiss flavored coffee you guys have?
Okay. All right, yeah.
My daughter likes that one, and she also, you know, she samples all of them. She likes the Robert England one too, because, you know, she likes the Robert England stuff. I think we're drinking just about every single, almost all of them. Not all of them, still getting there. And, you know, whenever I see you guys at these shows, you know, because I like to be personal with people, and I like to get the things directly, you know. And it's something about having it in hand versus just having a shift, which obviously I could do that. But, and I probably will eventually because we keep running out. But we're very conservative with our coffee. And what's also good about your coffee is you don't need a lot of it to make a lot of coffee, and it's delightful. I don't know if you know that. Well, obviously you know that. You make the coffee. You know how your coffee works. Now, when you guys start putting this stuff out, like, did you guys know how big this was going to get, or was this a surprise that you guys thought this to go as big as it did?
Well, I mean, it was the business plan, right? So, like, obviously,
right.
if you're going to start a business, you want it to grow, and you want it to be, you know, as big as you could possibly get it while maintaining quality at the same time, right? And
right.
Now, I will tell you this. Back in 2020 when we signed Robert England to work with us, we had no clue that 2 years later or a year and a half later, you know, that you know, we would be working with Warner Brothers, Rob Zombie, you know, we Disturbed. We didn't know at that point in time that we would be working with those types of people or those types of brands. I mean, it was the ultimate goal, obviously, to do something like that. And the funny story about Warner Brothers is that a lot of people don't know this. Bloody Disgusting posted it in the article when they announced our deal with Warner Brothers. But the Warner Brothers deal came from us almost getting sued.
Wow.
Because when we launched, when we initially launched the original Robert Englund bag, Anders Ericsson drew the logo for it. You know, it drew the, you know, like the Robert. And he put a glove on it. He put the Nightmare glove on.
Oh, right. Okay.
And we kept sending emails to the Craven Estate, all these people, like I'm talking for months on it, for a long time.
Right.
We're trying to get permission, or not even get permission. We were asking them if this is okay to use, because we didn't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We don't know what Warner Brothers owns, what New Line owns. We don't know what the Craven Estate owns, what they own. And so we're, like, emailing back and forth, but we're not getting any responses. We just keep shooting emails and calling and leaving messages. Finally, Robert's agent, she sent an email out to, like, New Line Warner Brothers, like, a couple days before the launch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, well, we have to launch. You know, like we've been pushing the pre-order forever now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we had already released the design. People have seen it. We didn't start selling it yet, but the whole world saw what the design was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the night before launch, the legal department from Warner Brothers New Line responded.
Of course.
And they said, yeah, you absolutely cannot do that.
Oh, man. At the last minute.
We had to change the colors of the bag. We had to change the colors of the stripes. You know, like the sweater stripes. And then we had to remove the Nightmare glove from Robert's hand. And they're like, yeah, we're going to sue you, basically, you know, if you do this, if you launch this. They're like, we really, you know, they even put in the email, we really hope you're not selling this yet.
Wow.
So we had Anders, you know, I love that person. I, you know, Anders is the best because he got rid of the glove almost immediately. He did it super quick, overnight, sent it, we updated everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I responded to Warner Brothers, and I was just like, hey, you know, we fixed it, here it is, and they're like, all right, that's good. But I was also like, so, while I have you on the phone, who do I talk to about getting the rights to A Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was our only goal, was just to get the rights to Nightmare on Elm Street, because that was just in our mind, because we were doing Robert. And then that deal took forever to make. What was it, a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Yeah, sounds about right. Something like that.
And then we ended up with, you know, all the properties. They're like, all right, you know, screw it. You know, we'll do Friday the 13th. We'll do It. We'll do Nightmare on Elm Street. We'll do Beetlejuice. And we signed this big deal. You know, and then there you go. You know, and, you know, we have Warner Brothers because we almost got sued.
By the company who gave you permission now for all of these other entities. Right?
Correct.
That's awesome. It's one of those things making gold out of lemonade, so to speak. That's cool stuff. It's always interesting to see how, like, something so, you know, tacky and something that could be, you know, a fear or could be something, you know, detrimental could turn into something that's going to be profitable and helpful in the end. And actually, that right there turned into something even bigger than it actually was. So, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that things happen for reasons, and that just proves it right there. You know, something silly like that turns into something epic, you know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, a cease and desist letter turned into a 2-year deal with one of the biggest movie studios in the world, you know, if not the biggest. You know, it's
and with that opens up all kinds of possibilities, too, outside of, you know, anything else. Because that also covers any of their music, right? Because Warner Brothers makes music, too, don't they?
Yeah, it's a completely different division and completely different people, though. So,
you stick with the movie
but
brand.
I'm sure, but like, when it comes to music, you have to deal with the agents, and let you know the person personally. Like, I can't say who, but just the other day, someone from a really big metal band DM'd me on Instagram, and they want to work together. So
yeah,
now it's, you know, now we're kind of going back, you know, now we talked a little bit, but now, you know, now he has to get his agent involved, because that's just how it works, you know. But like, it's like, so like even Warner Brothers Music, they just own the rights to the music. You know what I mean?
Right,
they don't,
right, gotcha.
They don't own the rights to the artist. The artist
right.
is always going to come directly from the artist, or it's going to come from their agent.
Right.
Some artists actually use a licensing company. You got to go through a licensing company, which we don't do anymore.
Yeah,
we learned the hard way with a couple other people in the past. You know, we just don't work with licensing. You know, with licensing companies. It's just, it's either going to be directly with the studio that owns the property, or it's going to be with the agent or the artist themselves, you know. But, yeah, no, I mean, as far as Warner Brothers go, their entire horror library is now open to us. So, like, after this deal's done, there's nothing stopping us from
pulling out the Rolodex of one of the horror movies. That's awesome.
It's like saying, you know, hey, you know, what do we want to do now? You know, maybe in 2023... or after this deal is done in 2024, we'll reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, let's do a series for The Conjuring, or let's do, you know, The Exorcist or whatever. You know, there's so many movies that Warner Brothers owns. You know, I mean, they, you know, they even own DC. You know what I mean? All the DC.
I was going to say that too. They own DC. So that's actually, aren't they part of Disney? No, not part of Disney. That's Marvel. But yeah, that's a pretty big deal though.
Mm-hmm.
Are they partners with Paramount, or is that something separate? I know they're two different studios, but I know they work together sometimes. Now,
Warner Brothers is like New Line. Like, they bought New Line, so that's why they have all those horror movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's funny how, like, all these studios, I mean, I make films too, so I know, like, sometimes you have these big studios who open and have all these little studios underneath them. Like, Disney owns, like, all kinds of different things. So, like, one of my old trivia questions I used to give people, what's the first R-rated Disney movie people came out with? And people don't automatically assume that Disney makes R-rated movies until they realize that Disney has all kinds of other subdivisions. And it's actually a horror movie. But you probably knew that movie, that trivia, right?
Yeah. So it does look like that Warner Brothers and Universal signed, like, it looks like they signed a 10-year multinational deal. So, and that was back in 2020.
That's good.
So I don't think they're under one another. I just think that they signed that deal and they work with one another.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though. That gives you options, though, because that would open up your superhero division, too. I mean, and there's horror people, and there's rock divisions, and there's horror divisions in those comic books, too. And those are also very much pop culture, so, you know, you make a killing on it there. You know, having a Batman-inspired costume, Dark Knight.
Yeah, you never know what the future holds, you know. We have a lot of stuff in the works that we can't even talk about yet. You know what I mean?
I know.
You know, that's the rest of 2022 is booked. The beginning of 2023 is basically booked as well. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming.
Oh, that's good. Some exciting stuff. So when is the F4L headquarters flavored coffee coming out? That's what the fans want to know. The first YouTube flavored coffee. When is that coming out?
I don't know.
We still like you guys regardless, so, you know, it's our coffee brand of choice here on this podcast anyway. But that was a joke. The F4L headquarters doesn't need a head flood version of coffee. People are like, what the heck is the F4L headquarters? Unless they're, like, listening to, well, then again, people do listen, so. And people of pretty good stature, too. Some of the people you mentioned actually listen to this podcast, so is that.
Awesome.
But, yeah, you guys do some great work, and that's why I, you know, on a regular basis, I'll usually say, well, this is the coffee I'm drinking today, and this is some, you know, I usually tell people, and I'll even try to describe, which is really sometimes hard to describe to someone who's not drinking it. Like the Densland coffee, the It coffee is so much different than like the Vincent Price, and even like the Robert England flavored versus the Jason flavored, completely different. But I did find a hack, by the way. I found out if you mix the two, oh man. Actually, I did that, and I called it the Monster Mash, which is my own little thing, which I don't recommend people to do. But that's something I have done, as that little food hack. Because if I can't decide between, you know, Jason or Freddy, or Bill Moseley has a great coffee too, by the way. I enjoy his as well. But, like, if I can't decide which one, I'll just take little bits of each of them and throw them together because it's that good. So they work well together is what I was pointing out.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, every coffee that we do, you know, they're all from different parts of the world. It's all different origins. Some, you know, some are flavored, some are not. You know, then, you know, It, Beetlejuice, those all are, like, flavored coffees. So, you know, you got cookies and cream, graham cracker, hazelnut, things like that. But, like, Bill Moseley, Kane Hodder's, Robert England, none of those are flavored coffees. They are just
straight coffee. But they're all but they're also different. I think they're also different blends of coffee because there's definitely like a dark roast versus a light roast versus a medium roast with those three too.
Like well, of course, it's all different, and also the origins are different too. So it's like coffee from Vietnam isn't going to taste like coffee from Costa Rica. You know, even if they're roasted the same, they aren't going to taste the same.
Exactly, and that comes from the coffee, you know, itself. Now, how long does it usually take you guys to develop the coffee itself for these individuals once you guys have something lined up? How long does it usually take to come up with the recipe? Or do you guys have the recipe and then gear it to the person?
No, I mean, they're mostly all geared towards the person. It just depends upon the person themselves. It's, you know, Warner Brothers, nobody taste tests, obviously. It was us that came up with all of that. You know, nobody at Warner Brothers is taste testing coffee. You know, we just have to send packaging in, you know, beforehand. But, like, you know, for example, D, he told us that he loves coffee from Guatemala. He loves Guatemalan coffee. So I had a Guatemalan blend made up. I roasted it at, like, four different levels. Well, I didn't. You know, our roasting facility roasted it at, like, four different levels. And I sent him all of the samples out, and he picked the one that he liked the best, and then that's the one that we went with. So some can be quick. Some can be really long. One of our people that we work with, I mean, they took 3 months to pick their coffee. You know, at some point, she's like, you know, come on. Like, you know, how many different coffee would you like to try? But you know, teach their own, and if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do.
I gotcha. Now, since you guys have been seeing, doing these conventions and stuff like that, now are you guys seeing people try to copy what you guys do, and how does that interaction go for you guys? Do you see it as endearing, or do you see it as competition? Do you see it as the more the merrier? I mean, there's, I opinion, you guys are the best when it comes to coffee, hands down. But I was just curious because I know how it is when some people try to do something similar to what you do yourself and they try to put their own spin on it. To me, like, depending on what it is, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But I know not everyone is as easygoing as I am. So I was just curious how that works for you.
I mean, we're starting to see people copy us and they're starting to copy the business model. In regards to working with, you know, whether it be a movie or whether it be a band, things, you know, I'm not saying that nobody has ever done what we've done, but nobody, I can't tell you one company that's ever done it before us or after us that's done it to the scale that we've done it. Nobody. And that's not an egotistical thing. It's just like, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I hear you. I'm with you. I get that.
You know, it's just like it's whatever. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I mean, we are seeing it. I'm not going to say names, obviously, but you know, we're starting to see it more and more. It's, you know, people work with bands, other companies working with movies, and I'm just like, yeah, like you never would have done that. In my opinion, right. You never would have done that if we didn't exist.
Right. They wouldn't have the idea.
Because you would already have been doing it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, if you're a 15-year-old company and you're just now doing it 4 years after we're live,
yeah,
we're still the reason why you're doing it. You know what I mean?
I get that. Absolutely. No, I get that. Like on YouTube or whatever. My son and I started something on YouTube years ago. And we'll see, and because we are kind of quoted the originals of it, like YouTube feels the need to show it with us so we can say if it's, you know, okay for people to do because it's so close to what we do. To me, I'm like, whatever, my son's younger. Now he's older because he started when he was like 11 on the show or 10, and now he's going to be 20 in November to make me feel even older than I am. But I see that on, like, YouTube. People will try to copy what we did back in the day, and they're just doing it now. And it's but, see, his like I say, and this is something you can keep in, you know, but you can use, too, which it sounds like you do anyway. You can try to be as well you want. You just, well, we're the first, and, well, we're the best because we have the tenure here, you know. That's how I look at it, you know. There's definitely people who want to try to do something what you're doing, but then there's a difference between what you're doing and then their Mickey Mouse operation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't lose any sleep, you know, it's just like, all right,
drink
you know,
a lot of
good,
coffee,
you know, good luck.
Just get sleep. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's like, good luck, I hope it does well for you, and that's it, you know, it's, move along. I'm glad that we could inspire you to do something different. You know, something that you never even would have thought about doing to begin with.
Right.
You know, because
like
that's
approach.
Really the case.
Right. I like that. See, that's a good model to have. You know, that's a good philosophy. And like I said, whatever. At first, I'm like, well, why can't they do their own thing? Why are they gotta? And sometimes it's like so like. You know how it is, like, when someone does, like, I'm sure you make coffee, like, you'll have coffee, which you know you make good ones, and you'll have coffee that isn't so good, you're like, oh, this is not good coffee, but it's supposed to, this is something you're good at, you know what I mean? So you try not to be, the person to, like, cut down the coffee that someone else made, but in the same sense, you're like, oh, this is not my coffee. You do know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look.
I'm wondering if,
There's bigger companies than us. There is a lot of, you know, there's room for everybody in the business. And, you know, we have a niche, and we will continue to do the niche. We'll find different avenues. You know, we just got into gaming with Dead by Daylight. And,
I saw that, too.
You know, that's it. And we'll continue to grow. We'll continue to be ourselves and do our own thing. You know, and if other people feel the need to copy us or, you know, because they can't come up with their own ideas, so they use, you know, so they piggyback on somebody else,
sure.
That's fine. You know, I'll send you an invoice for 1% royalties for the rest of my life, you know, the idea. But,
there you go.
You know, it's... It's fine. It really is. It's just, do your own thing. Good luck. It's not as easy as you think that it is.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's it.
100%. I agree with you. And I think that I often just say, you know, like I have a similar approach. You want to try it, you're welcome to it. It's just what we do is better. That's all.
Yeah.
You know? So I get that. I you have my approach to it, too. You're like, yeah, whatever. Good luck. You know, we've been here a little longer. We know what we're doing. So we're good. You know,
yeah,
we have
I really pay them
you know?
No mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I pay them no
you
mind.
Can't.
It's just,
yeah, exactly. It's just like the people who are tough behind the computer, the people who like to, you know, say things about the, you know, various different things. It's the same approach. You know what I mean? People like to be knuckleheads. People like the negativity. And I don't even pay any mind to that. I'm like, oh, well, thank you very much. At least you had a mind to write me this email. So thank you so much.
Right.
You know, it's the way you look at everything. You take it all serious and take it to heart, or you can like, eh, you know, whatever. And I think it's great. So So you were saying to people you're going to be coming, you've got some shows coming up. Now, what shows are you going to be at, and how can people get a hold of this coffee?
The only one currently that we have scheduled is the Monster Mania in Oaks, PA. So, like right now, that's it. We're very small staff. I'm the only full-time employee. It's tough to get to a lot of these places, you know, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We're working on some options for that. You know, we don't have a huge team like some of these people do, or to go to all these
events. Right.
But, you know,
there's so many of them. And honestly,
we've kind of, except Monster Mania, because we like that one, you know, but we're starting to avoid shows that we can't serve coffee at.
Yeah, I got you there. Right.
It doesn't make sense for us. You know what I mean? Like if I can't sell liquid coffee, I'm really going to, it's going to be hard to get me to your event.
Yeah.
And that's really all there is. We like selling coffee. We want to sell our cold brew. We want to sell hot coffee. And we don't want to constantly make samples all day. It makes no sense for us overall and logistically to go to sell that. But Monster Mania we enjoy, and the one in Oaks, PA, Robert's going to be at. So
he is, exactly. That's true. And so will I, actually. I'm on staff, so I have to be there for all the shows. It's cool, though. It's really good to see, and it's great to see that, that's growing. And it's nice to see you guys have a home there, you guys feel comfortable there and whatnot. I think that speaks to, how they kind of run things and stuff. Because there's some that aren't so nice, you know what I mean? And I get the whole traveling thing. I don't know how people can go to a lot of them anyway. I never understood how people can go to them just in general, like as much as they do, like either on either side of things, either the people running them or the people going to them. Like 9 to 5, like that's just me personally, who works 9 to 5 and has a family, whatever. I don't know how people can go to conventions almost every weekend and whatnot. And trust me, they do, as I'm sure you've seen.
Right.
But, I think it's good to, kind of space them out and pick the ones you're good for, the ones that you have established.
Yeah.
Because that way there also.
I love shows, don't get me wrong. I love interacting with people. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's just, it just has to be the right show, the right timing, the right availability for the team. When the team's really small, you have to pick and choose what works best for you, and everybody else.
Right. Sure. I get that. So, how can people order the coffee if they want to get your coffee? And what is your favorite coffee that you make? I know that's going to be a tough one. Is that a tough one for you to kind of pick which your coffee is?
No, it's not a tough one at all.
Oh, okay. What's your top
personally, my favorite coffee right now is our D. Snyder coffee.
It's good. I'll do that.
The non-flavor, just straight coffee, is the D. Snyder coffee. The flavor coffee is probably our black walnut, is our Draven black walnut coffee.
Awesome.
You can just grab it online, deathlikecoffee.com. I'm working on trying to get us into some grocery stores around the country, and hopefully by 2023 we'll be available in some stores. We are in some boutique stores across America, but we're working on getting into the bigger box stores. But for now, you can just, go out to deathlikecoffee.com and pick up your bag there.
Awesome. And I do recommend people do so. It is really good stuff. And now, are all the flavors available there online? They can just pick whatever they want or whatever?
Yep. They can pick whatever they want. And if you're hitting us in the middle of a roast, a little message will pop up and say your order may be delayed a little bit. Because we are a roast to order company, right? So we order fresh. We don't keep thousands of bags in stock and have it go stale. We roast, it comes to the warehouse, and then the warehouse ships.
Awesome. Let's see that. Fresh coffee, too. That's the best.
Yeah.
That's excellent stuff, man. And we appreciate it on our end of things, drinking the coffee. I can't tell
you
how many times
that
has saved lives, literally. I'm usually pretty mellow in general, but, you know, I need my coffee in the morning. Otherwise, it's not usually a good thing. So your coffee has saved lives, trust me. Because it's nice and calm the rest of the day. I don't know what it is about coffee. It's got a calming effect on me. It doesn't have the wired effect that most people get with coffee, probably because I've been drinking coffee since I was young. But but like I said, it's great to see that there's a, like I said, when it comes to be honest, I call your coffee gimmicked coffee because that's a wrestling term. And it's not a bad thing. It just means that, you know, basically it's named after different, like rock music and horror music and stuff like that. In wrestling, we call those like a gimmick. When you name something after something else, like that, this is what makes it separate. Because not every wrestler is the same. They have their own little separate, you know, personality. So we call that a gimmick. So I say, well, you know, Dead Sled makes the best gimmick coffee. Because it's, you know, geared after hard rock fans and horror icons and things like that. So just want to explain what that gimmick term means. But it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing at all. It just means it's what makes you guys stand out and your different flavors stand out versus all the everybody else. Folgers doesn't have gimmick coffee. It's Folgers.
Right.
You know, so when you hear me say gimmick coffee, it's not a bad thing. It just means it's, you know, it's very, it's its own thing. It's its own entity. It's a special blend, you know, so.
Totally.
I congratulate you guys. You guys are doing great stuff, and I've been working on this for a little while, and we look forward to seeing you guys in Pennsylvania. I'll be there. I got a couple of shows coming
awesome,
up there.
Thank
I got to
you.
Go. And we'll catch up more then. And, you know, I do urge anybody who needs some coffee, or even if you don't want coffee, but you should have coffee anyway. And this coffee, I think you guys should check out, Dead Sled Coffee. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Hope you had a good time. Hope you felt welcome here at the FPL headquarters.
No, I did. Thank you very much.
No worries. And is there anything else you wanted to add or any shout-outs? Want to say hi to anybody or whatever?
Nope, that's it. It's just I just want to say thank you to everybody that supports us and follows us and purchases from us and engages with us. And thank you for having us on. We're all very grateful for you, and without all of you, we don't exist.
And we appreciate it, too, and that's why we'll keep on shouting out the Dead Sled Coffee and the best gimmick coffee out there. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. And, you know, we'll see you guys in Oak, Pennsylvania. Be safe.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike from Dead Sled Coffee. And we urge you guys, if you want coffee, go check him out. Go to deadsledcoffee.com. Order your special gimmick coffee. As you hear, it is different than every other flavored out there. It's not Folgers in a cup. I don't know who would ever compare that to them. So go check them out. And, you know, when he was talking about, you know, dealing with people like Robert Englund and Dee Snider, and 100% they're probably the two best people you can get involved with any project because they are very attentive and they're very interactive people. Robert Englund is someone who, you know, from any perspective, if you have Robert Englund, he's talking to you. He's going to talk to you as long as he wants, really. And he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people are waiting to talk to him or whatever. And I had mentioned that I have a funny Robert Englund story, so I got to tell this story. I probably should have let him on the show so I could have him hear it too. Hopefully, he can still hear it. But I wanted to share this quick Robert Englund story, and I briefly mentioned it with my son. We were at a Monster Mania several years ago. My son was young, and my son, to be honest, isn't huge into horror movies in general, but of course the rest of the family is. But he, you know, now he knows who Robert Englund is. He definitely knows who he is now, but he was younger then, and he was a small little kid, but he had a Monster Mania. We're in the cafeteria there. Well, the cafeteria. It's a little hotel restaurant there, and it was a busy weekend night, and of course, there was no real seats. My son and I had a table that had two other, you know, chairs attached to it, because it was a table for four, but there was only the two of us in there, on the table anyway, and there was really no single tables there. So Robert Englund came in with his wife, and he offered everyone $100 or whatever for their table, and we just sat down ourselves. So my son recommended, why don't you just invite him over to this next to us? So we did. You know, my son's like me. He wants to make everyone happy and help people out. He didn't know who Robert Englund was. But, you know, he sat down, and, you know, Robert Englund and his wife had dinner with my son and I. And, you know, it was a very nice dinner and stuff like that. My son had no idea who Robert Englund was. And Robert Englund thought that was endearing. He says, like, I'm glad you don't know who I am yet. And Robert Englund is just such a personal individual with everybody. He's good with people young and old. He does a lot of charity work a lot of people don't know about, and I think he's one of the most down-to-earth people out there. It's just why I often say, if you're at a show of some kind and they're going to have Robert Englund there, you owe it to yourself to go say hello, because there's not going to be another celebrity out there. I mean, there's a few others. Dee Snyder is another person who's very nice to talk to, very nice to meet. But if you're going to go with, you know, on a level scale, if you go Robert Englund, I would go Dee Snyder as far as musicians go, or in general. And then after that, you'd go with Kane Hodder, Bill Moseley, probably in the same genre, Tyler Mayne, just about C.J. Graham, you know, back in the day, Steve Dash, rest in peace. And just these are amazing humans, people who like to interact, people who enjoy their fans, people who share the passion for what they do, people who aren't, you know, ashamed of who they were, and people who can be humble enough to acknowledge what their importance in pop culture is. I still, you know, I'm honored to be on the same level as a lot of these people. Tyler Mayne and I had a long conversation about wrestling, because a lot of people don't know he was a pro wrestler back in the day. And he's a nice guy, and I'm actually looking forward to catching up with him, because Tyler is going to be, I think, in the same show as Robert Englund, oddly enough. And Dead Sled's there, too, so as we heard. But, yeah, that was the story about how my son got to have dinner with Robert Englund when he was very small, and he didn't know who Robert Englund was. And it was one of those rare moments that could only happen at one of these shows. Kind of like how, you know, I had a conversation with Danielle Harris in the same bar. I don't drink alcohol, folks. I drink coffee. I had a Pepsi, and I was at the bar, and when she came in, I was, you know, feeling kind of down and whatever, and she had said, you know, you're a nice guy, and I think I was telling her how I don't think good guys, people like nice guys, whatever, like this, and I see all these jerks who have all these women and all this, and I wanted to settle down, and she said, I think you're going to find the woman you're going to spend the rest of your life with one of these shows someday. And being someone who was meeting fans as a wrestler and signing autographs and stuff, and then, you know, also I, you know, thank people who are also in the industry for inspiring me and allowing me to do what I do. So because of those two things, that kind of led me there. So then that's when you know, she said that, you know, she would meet the woman I would spend the rest of my life with. And 3 months later, literally, I would meet the woman who would become the mother of my children and my wife now, currently. So it's true. So I have about an hour and so forth left. You know, I'm not going to go the full length of the show today, but I did want to let you guys know. As I mentioned on the last show, I am currently working on rebooting the Friendar series I've been writing. Well, to be fair, I ended the Friendar series maybe about a year or two ago, but I had started writing the Friendar series when I was 11, and I'm old now, and I ended it two or three years ago, so it was a long time, but I had toyed with the idea, and I think what I'm going to do is reboot the series for the Friendar series and see how a new audience works. So I'm starting to do that, rewrite all of the stories. They're all short stories for the record. And now that I'm older also, so I'm wondering if how much, what is going to change now that I'm as old as I am, because when there's definitely a difference in writing when I'm 11 versus when I'm, as old as I am now. The same ideas and concepts will still be there, the same, mindset, the same overall story will be there, but just, I would say that in this perspective of things, it's probably going to be a little bit more, mature, I guess you'd say, in the sense that would be, something that was definitely written by me years later, about when I was 11. I think I was advanced in 11 anyway when I wrote it, so it is what it is. But that's going to be coming out. Starting to rewrite those. We'll see how that works out. The other thing I am working on is a special article, and I'm going to be doing a special report on something that has been very I've been a little annoyed about, and I just realized I have a podcast, too, that I have a vocal point that I can say, too. But I am going to write an article about this as well. But I am also going to be doing a podcast about the effects of these shows about haunted places, supposedly. And, are they really a good idea? Who is it for? Kind of an idea. Been writing up the debunking of things that I can tell you are or not. So that is something I'm working on. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm currently training for my upcoming fight for this holiday season coming up. And, people want to see my training videos. In all the years I've been doing martial arts and stuff like that, they didn't have that as a concept back in the day. And someone asked me about the fights when I was younger. Well, they didn't have social media when I was younger, so that wasn't something we did. I guess I can put out my little workout video when I'm getting ready for my upcoming fight. I'm just waiting for the official announcement for Dana White. And then once that comes out, I guess I will stop posting my workout training videos. So my opponent can see what he's in for. Unfortunately, I was told not to do that before because my team, who are very well-known seasoned people of both MMA and UFC, recommended me not do that because then the people probably will most likely not want to go through with it. And so much so that when it got close to the fight I was supposed to have with the other person, and when their team checked with my team, my team said, oh, yeah, he's ready and he's legit. That's when they got back to him, and that person got back to my people and said, oh, no, we're all set. And then all of a sudden he got injured or he had some type of disease or whatever, so that's what happened to the first fighter. So now I got another YouTuber who I'm supposed to be fighting, so we'll see how that works out. And that's kind of why I haven't posted a lot of my workout training videos, because My team, when they came and found out that, who was training me and what was all set, and that I was ready to go, then, they didn't want any part of the fight. So, but you know what? I think I will put out a couple of the workout training things, because I think people should see the right ways to do things. Lead by example, I suppose. So, and I'll show you the old school ways of doing things, as well as I prefer. And I'll show you the, innovative also, because there's all kinds of things that go into training for various things. So that is something I'll be sharing with you guys shortly. And that and more. And Monster Mania will be approaching, so we'll be doing a show before that. And I won't be doing a show during Monster Mania, because that's insane. Folks, this is the Apparel Icon, Sean Joy Stevens, saying thank you to our friend Mike from Dead Sled Coffee for joining us this morning for Coffee Talk in the midweek. It's been a very hectic week for us, and it's a pleasure to have him on the show finally. And I'm still drinking the coffee. And everyone, whatever you're doing, all your dreams come true. Peace from the Apparel Headquarters.